Definitely a Korach Alamos Shir and Terek Membov. So again, for the conductor, for the sons of Korach, Al Alamos. On the Alamos, there is a song. Again, Alamos could be a musical instrument that we just don't know what it is. It could be referring to on hidden matters. Alamos is in something that is Ne'alam, something that is hidden over here. And maybe that these songs are referring to things that are beyond our normal intellect, you know, something that's Kabbalah and Mesorah Ki, you know, type of things that are beyond this. Regardless, Chazal tells us that this idea, everything about this mizmor.
Ruach Nevuah.
I guess that would be the hidden matter type of thing now. Either way, regardless, it's supposed to be about Mashiach and Gog. What's going to be with Mashiach and Gog, Umagog? A couple of these shirim from Bnei Korach are going to be referring to this over here. Either way, Alamos can also refer to Olamos, not only this world, but also the next world altogether. And Korach was saying, the Bnei Korach was saying that they're going to be brought back up at the time when Mashiach is going to come. That's when they're going to be brought up from that level of Gehenna that they're supposed to be at. Elokim Lanumach Zavaiz. God is our refuge and our strength. As Rav Tzaros, He helps us in any of our pain. Nimtza Ma'id, and He's always available. I would assume that this is referring to, if we're referring to Gog and Magog, then we're referring to the Ikvasid Mashiach, the very, very end, right before Mashiach comes, those birth pangs, so to speak. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was there at that time. So who would say this better than Bnei Korach, who at the moment when they were supposed to be swallowed up by the ground and go into Gehenna forever, at that moment, they were able to be saved, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped them. So He's Ezra Vitzaros, some the ode, able to help at any point to be able to help them. Al came Lunira, that's why we're never afraid. Bahamir Aretz, when the land changes, over Motarim, believe Yamima, when the mountains move into the heart of seas, as Harazesim is supposed to split at the end of days. The Medrash says from this pasuk, Harazesim will split in half and a river will run through it. That's what's supposed to happen with Harazesim. Whatever that means, I don't know what happens to the bodies that are on Harazesim. Maybe it's after Sfiras HaMeisim and all the bodies are out, and that's that. But when the land changes in that way, obviously the way that it could split is through an earthquake. I don't know if there is a direct fault line under Harazesim or if it's anywhere near, but no.
No.
They have it in Jerusalem. I'm just saying under Harazesim specifically, is there something that goes right through?
No, but the little mound outside the Kotel, it collapsed. That's why they built that wooden bridge.
Oh, really? That's right. Oh, that was from an earthquake?
That makes sense.
Yeah.
It used to be like the ground collapsed in an earthquake, so they had to build that wooden ramp.
I thought it just collapsed. I thought I'd read that it collapsed because of bad workmanship. I thought that's what I read. I didn't hear that it was because of
permanent, but the lock had it out there.
Interesting. Okay. Yamu Yachmu Meimov, right? So it rages, they foam all of its waters. Yirashu Harim Begavatel Sela. Through the mountains, right, they're going to scream out loud through the gaiva of this river going through it. So this river that picks up in the middle of Harazesim is somehow going to go through everywhere. Of course, this could be referring to Gog's army going through like waters, you know, like a tidal wave getting through the whole area. Nahar Plagav Yisamkuyer Lakin, there's a river whose streams will make happy the city of God. Kadosh Mishkan El Yon, the holy ones of the Mishkan, those who dwell upon high. Again, this could be referring to a river that comes out of Yerushalayim, or it refers to the destruction that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrought against Gog and his country Magog. It could be referring to either one over here. If it's referring to the river, there is supposedly a river that goes all the way down to Chizkiyahu, who had stopped up. It's one of the three things that he had done that Chazal did not agree with, that Chizkiyahu stopped up the river. That river will reflow again and become a full river going through Yerushalayim. That is a possibility. It also could be referring to the boundaries of Yerushalayim extending. Because I'll also tell us that Yerushalayim will be the size of Eretz Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael will be the size of 400 by 400 parses. Then Yerushalayim is going to be huge. And in that sense, right, you can understand that it expands. I understand it, I mean, through what we have nowadays, with just the city growing and growing and growing and growing, that it literally is expanding as if it's the size of all of Eretz Yisrael. It just keeps going. Expands up as well. It's a good call, right?
It's
just
really bigger, big things.
Yeah, the way we have the ability to do so. It's a good call. Elokim b'kirba baltimot. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. And so to speak, Mount Sion, Har Sion, will not collapse. It will not be lost. Yes, we're Elokim with no spoke here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help it when it comes to mourning. I would say that this is an allusion to the Kosel Ma'aravi, that no matter what happens to the Beis HaMikdash, the Kosel Ma'aravi will always remain. Shechina dwells in the west, and the Kosel will always remain no matter what happens. So that's an unbelievable idea.
Something that remained from the first base, I mean,
Not that we know of, because they rebuilt the second basement.
Right, and this maybe there was. Wasn't even built in the original second basement. It was part of Herod's reconstruction.
That's a lot of questions. The about
the
that. The question is what it is. Rav Amar, the last chief rabbi, Sephardic rabbi.
I said that before, and I think you misunderstood. I read what he said, and
yeah.
I think that had something more to do with going on to as opposed
the
to...
The question was, does the Rav touch the Kotel Maravi? That was the question.
But I had read and were reading people didn't touch the Kotel because if you put your fingers in the crack, then your fingers are going into Har Abayit.
In a way, yeah.
Right, but it's Har Abayit. I'm pretty sure every single archaeological, historical account says the Kotel is a retaining wall.
Right now, that's what he was saying. He said they did the Cheshbonos according to what the Amos would have been at the time. And they figured out that it's Yod Aleph Amos Aleh. That it wasn't that. That it was considered the actual wall of the Chel. That's how we consider it.
That makes sense, because then the Chel is enormous.
Yeah. Why is that a problem? That's the third basement of Mikdash, the one they have inside there, I believe. The Eskel's basement of Mikdash, yeah. That's the really big
part of the southern wall also?
Yeah. What?
Only part of the southern wall.
Because you have the little bit of whatever it is.
Because the southern wall extends, the retaining wall was built purposely to put more dirt on the southern part because Har Abayit kind of is higher in the north than it is in the south. If you look at the way the Kotel is built, it wraps around.
There might have been extra parts that they put there. There might have been extra parts that they added on there. It still could be. Either way, that's definitely what he said. There's no question about that. Because the question was whether or not to touch it.
Definitively, that is part of this.
That's how he passed it. That's how he passed it. We asked him his opinion on the Kotel. It was Rabbi Cohn that had asked the question.
So I remember he told me this a while ago and asked Rabbi Rock, and he was like, there's no way he said exactly like that.
Okay, I can talk to Rabbi Rock about it. He was there.
Please do, because I'm curious.
It was there, by the way. But that was the third basement.
That was the third basement.
Yeah, because it's the big one. It's like right there. So they have the third one in there, but they don't have the second one. Yeah. That's good. That's a third. Okay, either way, regardless. Hamul Gaim Masum Amlachis. So the nations roar, the kingdoms shake. Nesmakol Tomogaret. He said out with his voice, and the earth melted down. That the nations came in with great multitudes, that they're going to come in and try to destroy the land, and they are going to be totally annihilated. That they're the ones, Tomogaret, that are going to be destroyed by over there. Okay, that's that. Hashem Tzvokos Yiman Hashem will be with us. Misgavlan, he will be our protection. Elokei Yaakov Selo, the God of Yaakov. It's interesting that it says the God of Yaakov as opposed to the God of Yisrael or anything like that. But the same way that Yaakov was a shepherd of Laban's sheep and faithfully listened to everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted no matter what, that's the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of us because of our truthfulness and our ability to, I guess you can say, to say the MS and to do the right thing. That's the idea behind it. And that's the idea of Imanu. With us means three things. Number one, that we have material prosperity. In other words, we have actual riches. Number two, we're protected from chait. Number three, that we'll be intellectually better, that we'll be smarter and be able to do things. And that's the concept. And, okay, L'chu chazim v'alz Hashem, come and see the works of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, some shamos v'arz, who made destruction in the land and destroyed all the nations over there. It's interesting over here because they darshan from this pasuk, sham shemos ba'aretz, that all the names of everything in the ground was made through Ruach HaKodesh, through HaKadosh Baruch Hu itself. Mashbis Mohammed HaKseh Aretz, he destroyed, I guess you could say, through the wars from one end of the world to the other. Kesh Shaber, he breaks the bows of those who fight, the Kitetz Chanitz, and cuts down the spears, Agalosi, Sobe'esh, and all the wagons of those, the chariots, we should call it, right, that came up against, they were burned in a fire itself. And again, this is all referring to Gog and Magog being destroyed. Everything will be destroyed at the very, very end, right, through that fire that he sends down. Harpu du'uki enoch elokim. So let it be. In other words, let go and know that I am HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rumba Goyim, Rumba Aretz. I will be exalted among the nations and I will be exalted among the land itself. And this is the idea. Harpu could be to stay away from sin. Instead of stay away from me or stay away from Bnei Yisrael, it could also be the Bnei Yisrael are exhorted, stay away, and then you'll know that I am HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'll help you. Hashem Tzvok Zimanu, and David HaMelech repeats it again. Hashem Tzvok Zimanu Mitzkav Lanu, Elokei Yaakov Selah. That's what's going to happen over here, that the idea behind it. So it could be that at the end of the days it's only going to happen through nature, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to save us through natural means, etc. But it seems likely that the whole point of Mashiach is to prove to everybody that HaKadosh Baruch Hu really does exist, and therefore it will purposely be supernatural to show everyone that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is truly with us. It also could be there's an allusion to Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David. Shemsuot Kozi Manam Skal Excella number 1 is referring to Mashiach ben Yosef. This one is referring to Mashiach ben David. Either way, that's the idea of what's going to happen in those times. Now, once that happens and they fight against Gog and Magog and they succeed, another song that Bnei Korach wanted to sing, and this is a real mizmor, it's no longer Al Lamos Shir, this is a mizmor, it's in a, like, sort of like an orchestra. All of the nations clap their hands, they shout out loud to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a joyous song, very, very happy. This refers to the Yemos HaMashiach and what's going to happen over here. So it's interesting. This is the mizmor that we say right before we do Tkiyas Shofar on Rosh Hashanah. You say it 7 times over. And the reason why seems to be is that if on Rosh Hashanah a person would finally sum up his deeds and owe and realize how much he owes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and how much he really has done. Now remember, Rosh Hashanah is not a time for tshuva. It's not a time for a person to, it's automatic that it comes with, that's fine, but it's not a time for you. It's a time for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's about the Malchus of Hashem. If at that time you realizes that, right, then it's, so to speak, a Yemos HaMashiach for him. He gets something. He may not be Zocha to give it to the rest of the world, but at least for him, it'll be that way. That's the concept behind it. Okay, we have the following. Obviously, in our world, Rishayim rule over the world. At the end of the day, it's going to be HaKadosh Baruch Hu who's going to take all the good that's going to happen and make sure that that all the nations are going to shake hands, so to speak, clap hands together for Bnei Yisrael to be able to help us, to be able to do everything. There's no real word for shaking hands in the Torah. I don't know if the concept existed at the times when Tanakh was given.
They just
remember seeing one over there. I would assume just fist bump and then blew it up right afterwards.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know if there's a real word for it. Why is it is shaking hands, right?
Kiyas
kap was that an actual shaking of the hand? Is that what they?
That's what I mean. My grandfather speaks Yiddish, but that's what they would use.
That's what they call that. But it's not that really. It's really clapping the hands more than anything else.
When you say hello to someone, you. Each person clap their hand?
No, it's not meeting somebody. It's just Ko Amim Tikuchov is we clap hands as if excited for what's happening in Eretz Yisrael.
Uh-huh.
I'm asking, could it refer to, you know, shaking hands as well, right? Shaking the hands of Eretz Yisrael, saying we're so proud of you. Yeah, high fiving. That could be. Right? Just clapping hands with somebody else. See, Hashem Yol Nora, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu the High, right? He is awesome. Melech Gadol Kol Haaretz. He's a great king over the entire land, revealed throughout the entire world. Up until now, it's been Ne'elam, but now it's Nora El Yon, awesome throughout the entire world, as if everybody understands who he is. Yavram Yitachtenu, he leads the nations underneath us. Ulum Yitachtenu, and puts the other nations, the people, under our feet so that they accept us. They no longer assume that they're the leaders and taking care of us. We now are under him, so to speak. Yad Ber, also in an unfortunate way, could also refer to a Dever, that a Kaddish Baruch Hu could also, if they don't, they're not willing to be led, then they die through a plague and they're destroyed. We hope that that's not the idea. Yad Ber literally means to lead, however. He chooses for us, he chose for us our inheritance, as Gaon Yaakov. The pride of Yaakov, again, the base of Mikdash, Asherahav Selah. Now, why is it the Gaon of Yaakov? Why do we call it that? So it's interesting. When Avraham Avinu came to the place, he called it a Har, right? Alahar, the Har that I will show you by the Akedah itself. When Yitzchak went to Davin in the place, it was a Sodeh, Lasuach Basodeh. He called it a Sodeh. So the Gemara says that Yaakov Avinu was the one that called it a Bias. That even though Bias is supposed to be regarding this idea that he made a Beis HaMikdash, he created it a Bias itself. It's an interesting call over there, and he goes, he calls it the Beis Elokim in the beginning of Parshas Vayetze. In the beginning of Parshas Vayetze, he calls it the Beis Elokim. So that's how we call it the Gaon Yaakov. When Yaakov Avinu was leaving, his pride was to call the actual bias of where he went to. That's the idea behind it, the pride of what he stands for. So that's the idea of what it stands for over here. Allah Elokim Bisrua, HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes up among all the shouting of the nations and the people, saying Hashem, the Kol Shofar, Hashem goes up with the call of the shofar. Obviously this refers to the final shofar blast that comes at the end of days. This also refers to the Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is hinted to every Rosh Hashanah when we blow on the shofar toward HaKadosh Baruch Hu and how we bring it back, so to speak. This is shouting also refers to when we bring the Aron Kodesh back, the Aron Kodesh together with the Sefer Torah, etc. That's what we do. There's a minhag in Klal Yisrael, which is a tremendous minhag, which we've had for years, that when you write a new Sefer Torah, we have a whole Hakhnasa Sefer Torah. It comes from this. Allah Elokim Bisrua. So you're shouting.
Sorry, the Cuba used shofars at I've never seen
an interesting call. No, I don't think I've ever heard it. They make loud noises and everything like that, because trua also means a loud noise, but I've never heard shofar blast at that. But you know what? Maybe there are some sardim who do it. You never know.
Yeah,
you
cool.
Blow shofar in times of Hakhnas Sefer Torahs. You ever hear that? I'd love to know.
I think my shofar I've been to. I know I've been to two of my shofars. They don't blow
shofar. Maybe don't blow shofar. But that might be Moroccan. What do the Syrians do?
I'm not Moroccan.
Well, where are you? Isn't he Tunisian?
He's Tunisian, but the shul is Yerushalmi.
Oh, it's Yerushalmi. Okay. Maybe Moroccans do it. The Tunisians do it. We'd have to check. That would be a good call. We'll ask. We'll ask around. Anyway.
No.
The point was, since it comes from Olo Kim Bitrua, maybe the idea is
that we're going to make up strange customs.
That would be awesome. First of all,
I think it would be so cool.
Delta fish. That's
no.
Okay. Anyway,
I don't. You? That's strange.
Yeah.
That's strange.
Anyway, that's that. There's also an interesting thing that we all on Rosh Chodesh El, we blow the shofar. We start on Rosh Chodesh El. One of the reasons for that. All of Judaism except for a few people. Ashkenazim blow the shofar starting on Rosh Chodesh Elul. So one of the reasons for that is because when Moshe Rabbeinu went up the third time to the mountain, this is the time when he went to go get the second luchos. It says the idea is that he said, "Come to me on the mountain," and a shofar announced his going. That was the idea behind it, says the Medrash, and therefore we do it as well right over here as well. Elokim is mentioned seven times in this parak, and therefore we say it seven times. Times of Rosh Hashanah, that's where the minute comes from, to say it seven times altogether. It could be, it refers to the seven millenniums, the 7,000 years that are part of this world, the 7,000 being six times of Tchias Meisim, 6,000 until the, whatever is called the destruction, Churban Olam, right, that's what it refers to. But Zamru Lakim Zameru, sing to our Kadosh Baruch Hu, sing, Zamru Lakim Zameru, sing to our King, sing. And again, all of this is referring to sing because he's our God, sing because he's our King. In a certain way, there's more Hashkacha Pratis in that way for us. Because the king over the entire world is HaKadosh Baruch Hu Zamru Sing Maskil. Either, again, we did Maskil before, whether Maskil is referring to a type of hymn that they would sing, or is referring to a type of musical instrument they had, or it refers to a person who was wise in the word Seichel and how they use the word Seichel. It's a possibility that that's what it's referring to. Come, Baruch, you ready?
I have discussions.
That's perfectly fine. But that's the idea behind it. Moloch Elokim Goyim, that God reigns over all the nations. Elokim Yashav Al-Kisei Kadshei. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sits upon his holy throne right over here to acknowledge that everything is complete. Remember, the Kisei of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not showing until a Molech is destroyed. Kiyad Al-Kisei Ya. Case is written with Chaf Samach instead of Chaf Samach Aleph, and Yud He is written instead of Yud He and then Vav He. There's extra letters that are missing altogether.
Okay.
The Hu, He Vav Aleph, is missing from that word. Hu is also a reference to one of the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That will change. It will be a full Kisei, and there will be a full Yud Kei Vav Kei that we're able to say. That's the acknowledgement that happens over here. He'll then sit on his Kisei Kadsho. The princes of all the nations will gather together to the people of the God of Abraham. That's the one that they probably know better than anything else, especially that depending on how many Arabs there are in the world, they would know it as the God of Abraham more than anything else, right, of Ibrahim. Because God has all the shields of the earth, and is greatly exalted.
Even Christians consider themselves an Abrahamic religion because they
call.
Speak off of Judaism.
Right, and chesed oriented based, etc. The idea behind it, very, very good. So I yeah, if we have already, let's say there's 1.5 billion Christians and 1 billion Muslims altogether, right? I don't know if it's that far off. You have 2.5 billion people that are the Abrahamic religion who will come back to the God of Abraham.
And if Abraham's other sons were the B'nai Keddah and they spread the religion,
you have everyone, except for like Africa. Seven people in Africa, maybe. But that's about it. It's also Amalek Avraham, but could also refer to Gerim. That's the obvious line as well, because Avraham, you know, obviously brought about, he was the man of Gerim, and all these nations want to be Megayer, and that's why they're going to approach the God of Abraham to be like Avraham, you know, and that's the idea behind it. Others say that Nedivim Amim is just referring to the Jews themselves, that we're Nedivim, that we voluntarily accepted the Torah, unlike any other nation, and no other nation accepted it. We were the ones who accepted it.
True.
What do you mean?
God hung the mountain over our heads.
The second time. We said Nasa twice, and then Nasa Benishma, and then on Matan Torah in order to accept Torah Shabbat Al Peh, we had Kafalei and Harkigigis. So the Kafalei and Harkigigis was only to accept more than what was written there. So we did accept it beforehand, unlike the other nations. So that's a little bit of a difference. What are you going to say, Vanilla?
Native Americans.
I don't know what to say.
The Ethiopian Jews too.
Yeah, but they come from Jewish stock.
Yeah,
no, Native Americans. They do come from. Yeah. But where did they come from? That's my thing. That's me. They connect to Avraham.
I had a line once. I never checked it up with the big rope. I always wondered if they were the Dor Enosh when there was a mabul during Dor Enosh. Everybody forgets about that mabul. It was the second mabul during Dor Enosh that allowed a third of the world
in the first
to suffer. What?
That was the first.
That's true, but the not so popular one from our perspective, but that mabul would have destroyed. I always wondered if that Dor Enosh was referring to those people that were plagued. I mean, maybe it was Migdal Babel. Maybe you're dealing with those people, right? Because Migdal Babel were
like
scattered.
You're like the shot in the punching shot of a midrash of a
Because how old is that before?
Who are these people? Who are the people?
I've heard that idea before. I was wondering if
I don't know. No, I might have. I don't know, but I don't like
saying it. They live in the time of
Shlomo Melech, Menachos, Tachlav Zion, and Tosfos. But Olam Hazeh Lekos is.
Oh, don't we know that the lines are
Olam Hazeh in that hemisphere, but in this hemisphere,
we have Olam Hazeh.
The line structure also is different westwise.
What?
Line structure was different, so it's possible that.
What do you mean line structure?
Line structure, there are certain
land structure
that was different. Therefore, some of them could have been actually from Africa or something like this.
We're getting into other ideas.
That's hundreds of millions of years ago, not.
Not hundreds.
Okay. Yeah. Well, then he said the structure was different.
It could be hundreds of thousands. The last thing that I just read was not too long ago, 23,000 years ago.
Yeah, you read that?
I'm going up 4,000. No, I'm waiting for 4,000.
You read that in a Christian fundamentalist?
No. It was actually quoted.
Yeah.
No, it was quoted
from a Christian fundamentalist.
Why? That wouldn't help. Why would 24,000 help?
I don't know, but this.
No, it's not legit. No, it could be. But why? Tangier doesn't have to be so long ago.
Yes, it does.
What?
The continents move about 1 inch a year.
Tectonic plates, yeah, but if you have a massive structural damage within the core, it could happen all of a sudden as once. At once. Yeah, it could happen yesterday. You know what I'm saying? Like, it could.
But
otherwise, tectonic plates, you can't prove anything with tectonic plates, because we don't know how they work yet. I think they work through magnets. Right, anyway, but that's the idea. We don't have to go into the whole idea of where the shofar and Rosh Hashanah, but there is some amazing ideas over here of what Kaf is referring to, the 100 blasts of the shofar, and that this whole thing is referring to why we blow the shofar and Rosh Hashanah, etc. All right, either way, regardless, this is all an idea of what we're going to have when HaKadosh Baruch Hu finally calls everyone together. What it's going to be like at that time. Let's go to Memchas over here. Park Memchas. Yet again, we have another Mizmor of B'nai Korach. So this you might recognize. I'm not sure if you will, because the truth is that whenever it comes to the Yom, there's a reason why you know Aleinu by heart, but nobody knows the Yom by heart. It just doesn't stick in your head. Maybe it's because you only say it once a week, but saying it once a week for 25 years, you'd assume you would end up knowing it. See, that's that's the problem. Tuesday is no, no. That would not be that. Very good. 48 would be Monday, right? So we have that. Shift is coming across.
That night.
Yeah, it's okay. I mean, you only had seven choices. Either way, God bless you.
I knew it was.
God bless you. Great is God. He is very praiseworthy. But you're looking at Har Kodesh. In the city of God, of our God, Har Kodesh is the mountain of his sanctuary over here. So this is an interesting little call over here. So they wanted to, right, the B'nai Korach wrote this Tehillim in order to extol the qualities of Yerushalayim, the holy city of Yerushalayim. And that La'asid Lavo, this is going to be the site of where the Geula will take place and where everything will happen. It's going to be over there. Now, there are others that say that it refers to at the times of Yehoshaphat, when many enemies fell dead in front of them, which is mentioned in Divrei Yom Chelek Beis Parchof, right? But Yehoshaphat saw many people die right in front of Yerushalayim itself. So it could be referring to that, but it seems that just like the other Mizmorim of B'nai Korach, it's also referring to the end of days in some way, shape, or form, right? And that's the idea of what we're trying to do over here. So here it says, Yafei Nof. It is absolutely beautiful. Nof is either its leafy trees, or the trunks of the trees, or it's referring to the climate of the area of Yerushalayim, or the word Minfi in the islands means a bride, so it refers to Yerushalayim as being a beautiful bride of the people.
Also means like the view, the horizon. Mm-hmm. Like, go check out the.
So I don't know if that's from this, or the original Hebrew, or that's what they say, yeah. And number five is, there was a city in Egypt known as Nof that was extremely beautiful, and it says that it had 359 beautiful decorations, right? But Sion was even greater than that. Honestly, I have no idea where they got that from. It's a weird line, but it just says 359. So.
Was that Shin?
Shin Nintas. Shin Nintas. I don't know, Satan. So either way, if they know, absolutely beautiful, Mesos Kol Haaretz is the beauty or the joy of all of the lands. And this is obviously not referring to our times, because there's no way that Yerushalayim would be that now. For the time, Har Tzion Yarkzei Tzafon, Har Tzion, which is at the foot of the mountain toward the north, Kiryas Melech Rav, the city of the great king. Now, just stand right here for a second. Har Tzion is not the north of Yerushalayim, but the city may have been to the north of Har Tzion. So there's a question on how to read this exactly.
Har Tzion is in Jerusalem.
Yeah.
So
that's the problem. Look at the words. Har Tzion, Yarkesei Tzafon. Now, Yarkesei probably means the foot of the mountain. Hard way to translate that in any other way.
Maybe it means it's the foot of Har Abayim.
You know what? How does he translate it, Yarkesei Tzafon? What does he say? The end of it, Gimel?
The Gimel?
Yeah.
Now that I'm more than close to see the Greek king.
The slopes.
Yeah, foot
of the mountain.
He also translates
Nof as elevated. Here's the problem. South. It is not. West. It's south. Yeah, it's south. Without a question, it's south. So the question is referring to the city which was the north of Har Tzion. So that's how you say Har Tzion, Yarkesei Tzafon, toward the foot of the north. Now, the Mayamalis didn't bring that. I just assumed that that's what referring
to. That might make sense, because Har Tzion is higher than Har Abayim.
No, so that makes sense.
So it's the foot of Har Tzion is Har Abayim.
So the Medrash brings this down and says, how could it be in the north? Is it in the south? And says, no, referring to the north side of the Beis HaMikdash, where the Mizbeach was, and they brought Korbanos there. That's what it refers to. So it does not refer to actually Har Tzion, which is a really strange medrash from this pasuk. Har Tzion Yarkesei Tzafon.
We got that on
fish. I'm okay with calling it strange, just we have to find a translation to it. But Kiryas Melech Rav, the beautiful city that comes from there, maybe that's referring to this that the land would have over there. There's another Maimar Chazal, which is brought down in the Zohar, that in the north is Tuma. Mitzafon tifaseh hara'ah. That the evil comes from the north. Now that was definitely referring to the Babylonians, right, who came from the north of Israel, even though they're technically east, who came down from the north to destroy all of Eretz Yisrael. In the future, it also could be referring to something over here.
Everything, though.
But nonetheless, I'm sorry?
Do we apply the to other stuff also? Maybe?
Yeah, you'd assume. This is where they say, so to speak, Tuma and demons come from the north, because the north is unboundaried, says the Zohar. I don't understand what that means, but so too over here, so it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu always protected us from the north. Yarkesei Tzafon, the Har Tzion, stood in the north, so to speak, so the Schus of Klal Yisrael was able to save them from whatever they needed and anything like that. But I don't know what that means exactly. I can't tell you, but there's definitely two things here. Number one, there is fresh air. That that's in Yerushalayim that other cities might not have or that it has in a special way. Number two, it has HaKadosh Baruch Hu's special Ashkacha. If we say that it has that special air, we'll call it Avira de Eretz Yisrael Mechakim, and perhaps Yerushalayim has it to a greater extent, that there's something that makes you a little bit wiser as you're going there. Maybe that's what he's referring to when it says Kiras Melech Rav, but it could be referring to anything else as well. It's an interesting line over here. He says, he brings down, the Miyamalais brings down, that there's such a healthy air, people will come and rejoice and be glad because no one will get sick when they're in Yerushalayim. I don't know about you. When I went to Yerushalayim, and maybe it doesn't apply nowadays, I got sick all the time because I could not stand the cold when I was in Yerushalayim, and all the stone buildings. And I always got sick. I caught pneumonia 3 times in a row, in 3 winters in a row when I was in Yerushalayim after I was married.
I thought it was the air.
What?
I thought because it's more dry.
Wait, not to come back. No, I came back and I haven't had
to go back.
Oh, to go back.
I have to go back
to Israel.
I don't know if that's not necessarily true because I got within 1 year I got 10 sinuses.
You didn't live in Yerushalayim.
I lived in Rosh Hashanah, so that's what I'm saying. Yeah. So I don't know, maybe it's not Yerushalayim.
No, Yerushalayim. No, Yerushalayim. We're talking about Yerushalayim over here.
Is that bacterial infection? I mean, how would the air...
It's just the cold.
Maybe you're right.
Caught it. Just cold. I got a cold. I didn't take care of it. And it became bronchitis or bronchiolitis. And eventually it turned into pneumonia. It's pretty good.
You go ahead and blame it somebody else.
60 I'm not blaming. I'm wondering why my chatzayim did not allow me to be saved like every other person ever in Yerushalayim. That's my question. But I'm used to a more dry climate, so it was difficult. Dry
there.
Yeah, dry air, so to speak. I guess you could say it that way.
It's dry.
And the summer is humid.
Yeah, the summer is different. Yeah. Either way, regardless, but that's the idea behind it. Other people, there's a line. There was a dome of calculations outside Yerushalayim. I've never heard this before, quoted by Rabbi Yochanan, that if somebody wanted to calculate whatever amount of money that they needed for Meisr Sheni, they went to there. I don't know what that means, like a huge abacus, right, that just sat there where everybody would use it together. I have no clue what
maybe
that means.
It was like a big money changer who, like,
who stood out there and did that. Makes sense.
Right.
It makes sense that they would have something like that, to be able to have something there. It just sounds so strange. Either way, regardless, that's the idea behind it, and the an idea that went through. An actuary.
2,000 years ago.
Yeah, they took a couple tests. Okay, in Pasuk Dalet, Elohim Aminosan Nodul Nisgav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is known in her palaces as being a fortress. And that's the idea of the Shekhinah is together with us, taking care of us, etc. And that's the idea. Yeah, in other words, the palaces of Yerushalayim. So in normal palaces, people use them to indulge in their own gashmias and whatever they want, etc., stuff like that. In Yerushalayim, God is known as a fortress in spiritual matters, that it's a fortress in a different way, that you concentrate on ruchnias more than anything else. It also could be a remez, the Zohar says, to the wall of fire that will surround Yerushalayim in the future. That there will be something as a fortress that surrounds it that no one will be able to get to Yerushalayim unless you can walk through that fire, so to speak. The kings assembled of Yahdav, they passed over together, and this either referred to the war of Gog and Magog, or it refers to at some later point, some earlier point, I'm sorry, where the Nevi'im spoke about where they came into Yerushalayim itself, but the kings came to see it. Hemaro, King Mo, they see it, and they were terrified. Nivhalu, they were scared. Nechbazu, and they rushed away. This trembling came to them, and they could not stand anymore, and they had to run away. They were turned into corpses, that the Shekhinah protected the city in such a way, right? Some say that it refers to something not so drastic, that the people wanted to see the beauty of Yerushalayim, and they were astonished to such a shocking degree when they saw it. As beautiful as they were told about the city, right, it was even more beautiful than they had imagined. That's the idea behind what we're referring to. A tremendous trembling took them there. Chil kayoleda, pangs like a woman giving birth. Beruach kagim, the east wind to Shabarani of Tarshish. It broke the ships of Tarshish. It wanted, or it took down those boats. It could be that those boats were the boats of the kings when they wanted to go back, right? And the boats were destroyed so that the people would not be able to get away. Another way of understanding this pasuk, which is an interesting way, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made sure that all the boats were destroyed that were on the way to Yerushalayim. And the people said, if only our boats would sink, that we never had to leave. They knew they had to leave and that their boats were leaving soon, but they didn't want to leave, so they said, oh, I wish our boats would sink and we never had to go.
Because people, so he's saying, that means they died.
No, no, no. The second way, no. First way, yes. Second way, it would just be like, oh, if only our boats would sink. Kesher Shemadu Kerenu, the way we heard it, that's what we saw. Be'arsham Tzalkos in the city of God. May it be established forever, Selah. And that's the idea behind it. Typically, the praise that you hear about something is usually embellishing it just a little bit. It's making it sound a lot better than it actually is. I remember my second year in Eretz Yisrael, a friend of mine convinced his friend to go to Israel with him. So they both went to Israel together, and I saw him on the street, and I'm like, hey, how's Eretz Yisrael? How do you like it? And he told me, it is the land of unbelievable embellishment. That's what he told me. He felt that everybody just was overstating how great it was, and he didn't believe it. He went there, he didn't like it, and he left, and he took my friend with him. It's a guy, you know, from kid. He didn't have a good guide. He just felt like, you know, everybody bragged about it at the time was KFC, and he liked KFC.
That's the problem.
Not that good.
He didn't have a good guide. Somebody was like, you gotta go to Israel, go to KFC.
Alright, Pasuk Yod. Dininu Elokim. We thought of you, God. Chasechov, your chesed. In the midst of all of your Beis HaMikdash itself. We thought about your chesed. Like your name, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is your praise. In other words, the way that people praise you is by mentioning your name. The names that we have for HaKadosh Baruch Hu represent what he does. Elokim, Tzvakos, Shakai, etc. Even Yudke Vavke in a way represents the deeds and the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Karvich that we stay amongst you. So that's your praise. Akati Earth among on the ends of the world, your right hand is filled with righteousness with all the good things that come through, right? And that's the idea behind it, that the king is praised for what he has done. This mountain of Zion should be happy. The people of the children of daughters of Yudah, should rejoice. Because of your great judgments and that which you were able to do, the delivery that you were able to make, that idea over here. So that's the concept. Chazal say from Rabbi Akiva that it's possible, this is referring to what Rabbi Akiva meant. Rabbi Akiva, remember, as they were going through and saw the destruction of Yerushalayim, said he started laughing and saying, now that I saw that this Nebuah is true, I know that the other Nebuah of Zechariah is true, right? And he said, I know that people are going to come back and old men and old women will again dwell in Yerushalayim. And the idea over here would be, you have mishpat, there's judgments, you need things to happen in that way, but in the end, everything will be good. Everything will become better because we have Nebuahs going the other way. Walk around Zion, surround it, go all around Sifrumi Dalah, count up her towers, right? Look at how many towers there are. Now, we talked about this before because we saw the word Migdalim before in the Navi. I forgot where it was, Yecheskel or Yirmiyah, I can't remember. And the Medrash tells us that Yerushalayim will have 1,184 gardens, 485 towers, 1,496 mansions, 1,876 suburbs, 369 additional neighborhoods, that number 369 again, by the way, and 144 gates. 359, very good. And 144 gates, 12 for each tribe. So I think we went through this a while ago. I'm wondering what would be considered a tower. Is a tower considered a three-story building?
About this. You remember? But also, I would say if there was any time in history that this was close, it would be
before, for sure, it would be referring to a place like time like now. If not for the fact that we're maybe a tower is a 12-story building.
What is it about suburbs? How many suburbs?
369 additional neighborhoods. Oh, but 1,876 suburbs. I don't know what that means.
What do you mean a suburb? How do you define a suburb?
Naperville.
They didn't know what a suburb was. They had maybe the big city, which was three blocks long.
They did because of Salikum and Kiryat Salikum, where there was Salikum, and then there was the city outside of Salikum, Kiryat Salikum, in which they had the fields, etc. It was a bigger area, like around. So they did have the concept of a suburb that was known by the name of the city itself.
About how they like the villages.
That's where I'm getting it from. Stop Zion, right. So that's what I mentioned over there. So they did have the concept, but whether that's what it refers to over here, no idea. Remember, Yerushalayim is supposed to be the size of Eretz Yisrael, right? So it's growing now.
It's going to have to grow.
There's no question.
Exponentially.
Not exponentially. And that's so. I mean, obviously, we're limited, right? But it would have to grow a lot, right? You'd have to connect Yerushalayim to Tel Aviv. That's what you'd have to
do. Would it be limited to those numbers?
Well, yeah, further.
It won't be limited to those numbers, or?
I don't know. Honestly, I have no idea. No clue. Shisu libchem lechela, right? So mark your hearts among the ramparts. This is the translation. I am totally going with this translation. For the ramparts we watched, that is referring to the towers on the outside. How many times do you see the word? Yeah, it's fine. The ramparts is a good word. Yeah, right around the old city. The old city, yeah. Pascu aminosel, step up among her palaces. I'm not stopping with Darbon, and you should tell it over to all the generations that are coming there. It's interesting that Pisku, the palaces, Pascu, to step up to the palaces, could be referring to the Pisca, in other words, like a top of the mountain. Another way of looking at it is when we're referring to the Chel, the Shisu Lutcham Lechela, pay attention to the Chela, pay attention to the armies of people that come from Yerushalayim. Not referring to an army that's fighting, but the armies of people, and there's a multitudes of people coming through. This God is our God forever and ever. He will lead us and guide us eternally until our death. Now, right there, we're going to have to worry about that for a second. Let's think. Al-Mus, right? Al-Mus is an interesting word. We said the word Al-Lamois, remember? Remember that was the musical instrument that we had above? The Al-Lamois brings five translations to what this word might be. Al-Mus could mean until death. It could also mean above death, meaning it's greater than death, referring to like Tchias HaMeisim. Number three, it could refer to an Ulam, which is a youth. In other words, in our youth, he will lead us in our youth, right, when we're still young, etc. It could refer to an Olamois, in the two different worlds, Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. And the fifth way is that even in Ne'alamois, even in hidden areas, right, and that's what it refers to over here, right, and that's the concept. It's an interesting thing. The way you'd interpret it, says the Medrash, is it's like a person who teaches his kid how to walk. You hold his hand, or, you know, better yet, teaches a kid how to ride a bike, right? You're holding onto the bike, you're holding onto the bike, and then you let the kid go. He's going to fall a little bit, but eventually he's going to be able to get on his own and be able to do it. Just the first couple times, he's obviously going to bleed, and it's going to be hard for him. That's the idea behind it. He accomplished it on his own through the help of a Kaddish Baruch who started him off and went through. I don't know if we'll be able to finish Mem Tes, but we might as well start. I doubt we're going to be able to finish it over here, but
right, is there
we have another 7 minutes, so we'll see what we do.
Is right after the show, Mark?
See, I don't know, but I assume so.
We'll
think about it. First of all, I have no idea why the Ms. Morim were chosen for each day of the week. I know the Gemara Rosh Hashanah discusses it. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah discusses it at the very, very end of Daf Chaf Tes, and it mentions, right, because it says one word over here and therefore refers to. So on Monday, for example, the second day, right, that's when you split the world, the land and the sea, etc.
Yeah.
So whatever it is over here that it refers to how beautiful the land is and stuff like that, like that's that. I have no clue how that refers to a Monday. What does that have to do with Monday over anything else? Because all are amazing when they put stuff together.
It could have been like, you know,
They just didn't have to add on Borchinash and Rosh Kodesh. You know, that was just unnecessary.
It says they said it on the second day.
The Levium said it, so of course, is why. And it says, because that one line, there's like one line, no, there's one line, that's cute. But there's one line over here, I forgot what the line is, it says somewhere, Al-Katz Ve'aretz, or one of these lines, that says, oh, and that's the splitting of the land from the sea, etc. But, like, the shaykhs, I had no idea how that is any shaykhs what you would do on a Monday. Like, what does that have to do with a Monday? Let's start this off, at least, over here. So, it's Levine Korach Mizmor, once again, Levine Korach over here. Shimuzos Kola Amim Hazinu Kodesh Kekolet. I want everyone in every nation, and all those who live on earth. Notice this, Yoshvei Choled. That word, Choled. What does Choled mean? The ones who live in Choled. Choled means, is referring to what? So it could be that Choled refers to the Choled, in other words, Chalada, the rust of the world. That we're referring to people who rust themselves out by getting involved with so much physicality and gashmis, they forget about the point of the world. Others say it refers to a pulga, a rat, or a weasel. It refers to people that just want to live in this world, don't want to be anywhere else, and they just live for all the good things in this world, and that's that. This whole mizmor is going to be about pay attention to your soul. That's the idea behind it. And the reason why B'nai Korach said it over anybody else is because Korach was so filled, filthy rich from all the money that he had gotten, either from Mitzrayim or whoever else he got it from, that it convinced him that he was the most brilliant man out there, and that he had a tremendous amount of kiddush and koach, etc., and therefore fought against
really
Moshe Rabbeinu.
I also think he's brilliant.
I forget that he's running for president once in a while.
Continually.
You know what? I'm not going to say anything political right now. I cannot understand how she's not being tried for, for treason. I know. It's all good. Gavnei Adam, Gavnei Ish. So every son of man, every son of any man, Yaakov or Shira, I want rich people and poor people alike. I want everyone to hear this. I don't want anyone to think, well, this doesn't apply to them. Every person is involved, no matter how rich, no matter how poor you are. Obviously, the rich people have to hear this. But not only that, but even the poor people. Everyone equally has to hear that we're in this together and we have to start concentrating on our ruchnius more than anything else. Interesting, Adam versus Ish could be referring to Adam of Rishon versus Ish Tzadik, who is the Ish Tzadik. Noach, that all the people, the sons of Adam, the sons of Noach, could be referring to Cain and Hevel.
Right, Rashi says Bnei Adam is Bnei Avram, and Bnei Ish is Bnei Noach.
No, that's good. Bnei Ish refers to all the non-Jews of the world, and the Adam refers to us. Usually it's Ha-Adam that refers to us. Adam refers to every person. Usually it's like that. That's the famous line. But by the way, Pi Daber Chochmas, where is it? Okay. We assume. Piedaber chachmos. My mouth will speak out wisdom. The hagus libi simunos. My thoughts of my heart are going to be understanding. You're going to hear tremendous things from me. And this is all an introduction. Akal mashal asni. I'm going to incline my ear to hear parables to mashalim. Aftach b'chino chidasi. I'm going to open myself with a riddle by the harp. Apparently, a harp is well used to be able to make people listen. And when it happens, I guess the soul, a person, thinks better. I'm sorry. Oh, Sarah Pasasher, if that was a harp. I always understood Mavo is usually a lyre, right?
That's what I'm saying. Maybe to us, we know that there's different musical instruments.
String instruments.
That's the fact that did they have a different...
Yeah, I would assume so. Why not? They had many, yeah, because we have all the 8-string and the 5-string and the 10-string.
Yeah, but at this point, that's what you're talking about.
Yovel is the one that made music, right? Yovel, Yuval, and Tuval Kalyan. Alright, so Yovel made music. So I would assume that the music he made was all based on strings. And it's not that difficult to realize that if you have more strings, the music is different. But it's more complicated. It's not like...
These were hunter-gatherers, like, you know?
You have to make it sound good.
Sarah wasn't.
Generally speaking, everything. I mean, I could play guitar, but
no, you're right. No, you. But okay. Anyway, but that's that. So lama I Rabbi Meira, why should I fear in the days of evil? I want to convince you, Subani, that sins surround me. Why should I allow that evil to go through? Why should it be that when I get older, I feel weakened and whatever it is? Says David HaMelech, I don't think you realize what this does to you. When you don't give tzedakah, when you don't do the right thing, when you don't work with other people and try to whatever it is, then granted, at the end of your life, you're going to feel like you didn't do anything and nothing happened correctly. You have to work on that now. That's the type of stuff they have to be involved with. They have to start realizing how it's happening in that way. So therefore, a line in sort of a way is, at the end of one's life, the avonos of a person surround you on that day of judgment. Call that the dust of the avonos that you've had. And for somebody who amassed wealth dishonestly or did not do masa v'matan correctly in the right way, that's what ends up happening over here. So he's saying, why should I fear in the days of evil? Why be afraid of death if there's no escaping it? Everybody's going to die, and we all know this. There's no one in this world that is going to live forever. It's not going to happen. Obviously without HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but we understand that in our physical world, it's not going to happen. So why are we afraid of it so much? Why are we afraid? Because it's a natural reaction, because we think we've done so many things that are bad. That's the idea of what we're afraid of. And I'm going to show you, says David HaMelech, how to not be afraid of death. How to not be afraid of what's going to happen when you're sinning. How to accept it. So Habot HaMachelam. Yeah.
He's not saying, I'm going to show you how not to be afraid. He's showing you. He's giving you a reason to not have to.
Yeah,
showing the way. The reason why we're scared is
because
we sin. So
Look, Habot Kamal Chelam. There are those that trust in their wealth over Ashram Yisalalu, and they praise themselves because of how rich they are and how many riches they were able to take during their lifetime. Ach Lofodet. It won't be able to help you to be able to redeem somebody. Now, some say Ach means the word brother. Others say the word Ach means the word woe. Lofodo Yifte Yish. It won't be able to redeem a person. You won't be able to ransom your soul in front of God. As much money as you have in death, it obviously is not going to help. They trust in their wealth. They think their wealth is going to help them for everything. But it's not going to bring you to Olam Haba. It's not going to help them for anything. So the more you amass your wealth, the less I don't want to say less chance of everyone, but that's not the right line. The more you concentrate on amassing wealth, the less you are able to realize the point of this world and what you're doing over here.
You're doing it for the right reason?
Meaning
someone who does it can stop.
I would say that somebody who tells you that they're doing it for the right reason is probably not. Somebody like that.
I saw Starnes Mullen saying that they had one working.
Who says he amassed wealth?
Well, you have to in order to support two more.
He took what he needed in both situations for him and Yisachar. Who says? I mean, it's possible.
No, yeah, who says? In general, his question.
A regular stuff is, well, how could there be any person? Listen, it's fraught with danger. And I think we understand.
My question is,
More so than Yisachar in a way. Because Yisachar is sitting in a basement all day. This guy, there's a lot of lies he could make, a lot of deals he could do, a lot of
even though he's doing it for the right reason.
Yeah, I'm really referring to somebody who's going beyond the ordinary. It's not about just getting. Somebody told me, and I believe it's 100% true, that in order to live a normal life in our firm community, the amount of money you have to make per year is around $375,000.
You're saying for school and everything?
To be able to pay for everything and to take care of your kids and make savings and have savings and whatever and everything like that and not live a fully rich life. I don't know if it's 100% true. I definitely don't make that much.
Variables in that.
Of course, there are a lot of variables.
Yeah, So
what does that mean? So am I amassing wealth when I'm trying to make $375,000?
No, you're not amassing wealth because that's what you need to survive. You're making what you need to survive.
So that's
you're making $3,750,000.
Let's stop with this right now. We'll stop right here by tests, right? That's where we'll stop right here. We're men tests.